This is Generation Justice, a multiracial project that trains youth to harness the power of community through media, narrative, and critical consciousness. I'm Gianna Ramirez.
And I am Ghazallah Alikozai. Tonight, we look to leaders in our community who have stepped up to help Albuquerque families during the global COVID-19 pandemic.
We'll hear from Jonathan Alonso and Selena Guerrero, two organizers with Albuquerque Mutual Aid.
And this time of COVID-19, there's so much confusion and a narrative about young people who don't care has circulated in mainstream media. So Generation Justice Youth Respond and share their own thoughts about sheltering in place and being in solidarity for the community.
We've chosen some music about encouragement and overcoming challenges together, starting with the song One World, We Are One by the artist Taboo.
We stand all together, one voice saying, yes, we can. Each one, reach one till we pull ourselves up because we all one fan.
Selena Guerrero is a longtime community organizer with the national organization Save the Kids and Millions for Prisoners New Mexico chapter. She also works at Forward Together.
Jonathan Alonso is president of Fight for Our Lives Albuquerque, a youth-led organization that works for the safety of New Mexican students. Jonathan is an award-winning community organizer, a longtime GJ family member, and a senior at Native American Community Academy.
Albuquerque Mutual Aid is a coalition of local organizations and individuals who provide resources for at-risk community members during the pandemic.
As of our recording, the coalition has provided meals to over 600 families in Albuquerque. Now, youth producer Jackie Torres speaks with Selena Guerrero and Jonathan Alonso.
This is Jackie Torres with Generation Justice, and I'm speaking with Selena Guerrero of Millions for Prisoners New Mexico and Albuquerque Save the Kids, and Jonathan Alonso with Fight for Our Lives Albuquerque. Jonathan is also part of our GJ family. Both have been leading the Albuquerque Mutual Aid effort. Selena and Jonathan, welcome to Generation Justice.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
So will you please tell us more about yourselves?
So hi, everyone. My name is Jonathan Alonso. I am 17 years old, and I'm currently a senior at the Native American Community Academy here in Albuquerque. I am from the Pueblos of Laguna and Isleta, and I'm also Apache and Chicano. My pronouns are he, him, his, they, them, theirs. And I'm currently the president of Fight for Our Lives.
My name is Selena Guerrero. I've been a community organizer since I was 17, well over 20 years. My groups are Albuquerque Save the Kids, Millions for Prisoners, Building Power for Black New Mexico. I'm also an organizer with Strong Families Forward Together in my day job. And I'm a mom of six beautiful humans in the world. And my pronouns are she, her, hers.
So what is Albuquerque Mutual Aid and what is the history of mutual aid?
So I often say that mutual aid is deeply inside of us. It was given to us from our ancestors because when we look back to where we come from, this is the way that people lived anyway. Before there was capitalism or the idea of a dollar, people were living through mutual aid. I grow carrots and you grow lettuce and then somebody else has a cow farm, right? And so the idea of community working in coalition together to meet each other's needs is deeply inside of us and deeply part of our culture. And so it is not a new concept by any means. And as community organizers, we have always lived by this means. So we always have supported each other and been in solidarity in our work in the community. And we have always risen to each other's needs. whether it was back me up on this call to action that's happening, or do you have poster boards? We're doing a poster party, or when we do a big event in the park, we make sure that we're feeding all of the people who come. And we don't ask for money to do that because we believe that this is part of who we are and our values. And when we do that, we're always leading with love. We're doing that work because we care for each other. And this is the way we're supposed to be living. And we lead by example when we do mutual aid, because this is the example that we want to see for everybody. This is how we're going to build the world that we want to live in.
So you see mutual aid, like efforts happening across the country in response to COVID-19. And so how do you guys think that this mutual aid effort you guys have taken upon yourselves is helping to fill in the gaps where government aid isn't sufficient?
Yeah, definitely. So I think some of the biggest gaps that we're seeing, at least on the ground, is really, and it's everyday stuff. It's being able to go to the store and buy groceries, or go and pick up your insulin, or go and get whatever prescription that, you know, could be life or death, and not being able to have access to that. And just really recognizing that these gaps in access existed long before this public health emergency, especially here in New Mexico. None of these issues are new. They're just being amplified by the current crisis. So when we talk about mutual aid, I think an important thing is, like, we're only as protected and we're only as strong as the weakest member in our community, especially during a time like this.
Thanks for that response. So you guys are also currently serving in the community in a way that many of us are not. Many of us are staying here at home. What are you seeing about our community that really stands out to you at this point in time?
I think the solidarity. You know, and it's everybody has a role. So this is not about, like, you know, us doing something that's so outstanding or commendable. Everybody is and can be and is participating in different ways, right? Whether they're sending a $5 donation to help support purchasing the things that are needed for us to distribute, whether they're looking out for their neighbor who doesn't have a computer and filling out the form for them to get a care package. There's so many levels and ways. Our delivery drivers who come out and go out and distribute across the city and surrounding area, our packers, the people who come to actually break down 50-pound bags of rice, like, that they are the stars of this show. Like, they're the people who are stepping up and showing up for their community in a way that is unprecedented in these, you know, these kinds of times where people are really sitting in their fear and anger. Mm-hmm. And our volunteers, we have 50 volunteers who are standing in their courage every day. And they show up every day to do these things. And then there's hundreds more who have sent in donations and who have coordinated pickups of bleach or baby wipes or dropped cereal and art supplies on the porch for us to distribute. So people show up in all kinds of different ways, and every single role matters. And every single piece of that puzzle is what makes mutual aid so beautiful.
Definitely. I think one of the most beautiful things to see doing this is just how everyone fits in. We have, you know, we have our young people that come every day, and they're in a close proximity to each other, packing our care packages, and they're willing to take that risk because they recognize that they have that privilege being young and healthy. And then we have older people that come and pick up those packages and deliver them, and they don't even have to get out of their cars. We just put everything in their cars. They receive the addresses that they're going to, and then they're off for the day. And then we have people that, for whatever reason, they're immunocompromised, they don't have transportation, but they're helping remotely. We send them everything that they need to do, and they get it done from home, and they don't even have to be here. But just seeing all those really cool ways where everyone from, like, the young teenagers up to our grandparents are involved in this and helping.
Yeah, I think that's something that's so special that I keep calling out, is, like, the who we are is so reflective of our community. We are trans, we are young, we are queer, we are young, old, elders, we are non-binary, we are the people off the block from the hood. We are literally reflective of every single piece of this community, and it's so beautiful.
That's really awesome, you guys. Thank you for sharing. So in what ways does this newer effort of mutual aid connect to the efforts of your other work on Fight for Our Lives or Save the Kids and Millions for Prisoners?
So I think something that we've talked about as Fight for Lives collectively is just making, it's the goal of our organization is making New Mexican communities safer, whether it's in the classroom through things like, you know, universal background checks, different things where on the streets and we have stricter gun controls, or we're talking about climate change or whatever it is. But if we can't, it all boils down to like, if we can't make sure that our children are fed, then they aren't safe. And so it really does include our overall goal of making sure that New Mexican children are safe, whether they're in the classroom or out in the streets. And that really does start with making sure that they have things to eat, they have the necessary hygiene products to take care of themselves during a public health pandemic like this, or whatever it is, if we can help, we'll be there for them.
What are some of the positive or surprising experiences that you guys have had throughout this entire endeavor?
I don't know that I've been surprised. As much as it's such an honor to be helping to coordinate all of the beautiful love that is happening in mutual aid, you know, just helping to hold this environment where people are coming from all over the place, and being able to hear those responses back of gratitude, and being able to just hold and sit with that gratitude with our volunteers is so, it's just such an honor to be able to be in that space. And I just hope that it brings joy to people and during a time that is really difficult to be joyous, right? And so I'm hoping that people can find inspiration and joy in this work when they hear about it. So that's why, you know, that we were reluctant to do media at the beginning. Because, you know, this wasn't about, you know, a shout out. This was, we just wanted to get in and do the work. But we have recognized that this work is an inspiration at a time of darkness. Mm-hmm. And it does bring joy to people. And it's important to be able to share that joy. And for me, like, that's the place that I've kind of been holding.
Mm-hmm. I think that there's definitely a few things that stand out to me. One of the biggest is what Celinda was just talking about, but seeing like the messages from of gratitude from families. I'm not doing it too much anymore. We have other volunteers on that, which is also a cool thing in itself, because then they get to see these messages and like share that moment of joy, and like it's really like tugs on your heartstrings. But to see these messages from like a family of six that had no food in their fridge, and they're like, my kids, or they cried when they saw you bring the food, or thank you so much. Like those little notes that really just make all of this stress or whatever we're going through throughout the day just make it so much, like, just so worth it at the end. Those really help push us forward, and I think it's cool to be able to share that, like, with our network of volunteers. I think the second big thing on my list would be this week we actually received a care package of our own from some comrades in Florida that we've never met these people. These are just other people doing mutual aid. They texted us on Instagram and were like, hey, we see you, we want to send you some love too. What's an address we can reach you at? And a few days later, we got gloves, N95 masks, chocolate, teas, all sorts of like coloring pages, relaxation, like tinctures, just all sorts of things. And a really heartfelt note that was like, hey, we see that you're doing the same thing. We're not going to give up on you. Don't give up on us. And together we're going to keep building the world that we want to see. And just being able to receive that from a group across the country that we've never even met face to face, we just know that we're united by the work that we're doing and we're working towards a common goal, is amazing. I've never encountered anything like that in my organizing experiences, and it's going to stay with me forever.
I liked what we talked about this morning, is that one of our dispatch volunteers was able to support a delivery driver who was driving for the first time yesterday, and was having some difficulty, and just watching people, the way we are holding each other through these times, like being able to support each other, give each other courage, and also be there to help people when they're grieving, when they're sad, when things are emotional, when things get heavy, and through anxiety. Like we are a community that is strong and resilient. And when one person is struggling, we are able to hold them through that trauma and that grief and help to bring them back around. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so reflective of the space that is created in mutual aid.
And I think it's really collectively, it's just us coming together and like working. Now it's literally in one of our books, it's talking about navigating trauma through mutual aid. But like an example I'll give is, I'm a high school senior right now. I don't know what's going on with any of my classes. I've been going to school for 12 years and now I will not have a graduation ceremony on time. I haven't been told when that's going to be. And all these other little things, there's little things that pile up. Like, I'm not living at home right now to protect people in my family. And just little things that, like, if I didn't have this work to ground me every day, I don't know what I would be doing. And I don't think I'd be okay if I didn't have this work to, like, keep me grounded and see these amazing people every day and, like, be able to share this space. Like, it's just, it's really, it's helping other people, but in the process, like, helping ourselves too.
Wow, guys, that's really awesome. And, you know, in what other ways have other organizations, businesses stepped up to support the efforts of mutual aid?
So we actually had, I'm really happy that you brought that up. We had Savoy, and they have they're owned by the same person. It's Savoy and Zinc. They recently, last week, donated entire cars full of fresh produce that they just couldn't use anymore. And they were like, hey, we know you guys are doing some awesome work. Just make sure this gets in the right hands. And then we had just bags and bags of potatoes and fresh lettuce and onions and garlic to just give out to families. And that they're only one example. We've had N-Empower donate countless things. We've had the
NAPA, Pacific Asian Reproductive Justice Group comes, like, I think they've been coming like once a week and just dropping things off.
Like tampons, different things that people might need. Mm-hmm. We've had NACA came through and gave us bags of art supplies out to the families with kids. General Mills gave us like 3,000 granola bars to just like give out. Like there are so many cool ways that if people can't donate financially, they're like, hey, I have extra toilet paper. Can you come pick it up from my house and we'll send someone right away? Just little things like that, that like everyone has their place and everyone has a way that they can contribute.
That's really great. Great way to engage, I guess, members of community in different ways. So what are ways that individuals from the community can assist in mutual aid effort?
So they can go onto the webpage, ffol.org/mutualaid. And there's a space there for them to learn about our work and also a donation button and also a care package request button. And we have it right now in English and Spanish, but they can go there to explore our work. We also have an Instagram handle, and then all of us are on Facebook as well.
How are you guys able to mitigate the potential health risks that volunteers, I guess, who are going out into public?
Yeah, so I can take that one. So right now, what we do is we have a regular sanitation process that we start with every morning and at the end of each day, where we sweep everything out, we wipe everything down with bleach water, we spray down the floors, and everybody who enters the room is wearing masks and gloves. And we have hand sanitizer available if people need to change gloves out. And that is a regular practice. All of our delivery drivers have access to hand sanitizer, gloves, and masks. Many of them show up in their own, which is so beautiful. And many of them have donated many masks to us. That's another place I wanted to shout out is we've had so many donations, generous donations of gloves and masks from all kinds of spaces and from self-serve and beauty salons. It's just been so beautiful. And so the community has also stepped up to make sure we're protected and that our volunteers are protected as we continue to do our work. And when we go shopping, we go in our masks and gloves, and we've been at the entire time since we started this campaign. We showed up in our gloves and our masks, and we talked to cashiers, and we respect the social distancing spaces. And so it really has been a beautiful thing for us to be able to share those practices and follow all of the CDC guidelines while we're engaging in this work. We know that some of our deliveries are going to people who are positive or who may be immune compromised. And so ensuring their safety is also so important. And so the ability to be able to guarantee or to tell them that we've taken all of the precautions ahead of time, but also being able to leave the groceries on the porch. So if they need to sit out for a day or whatever, they can also make those decisions for themselves for safety.
putting it out there that this, it really is like a community-wide effort, because, and I'm just going to be that person, every time that like we go to Costco or Smith's or whatever store, we are one of the handful of people that are wearing gloves and masks, and we're getting ready to enter a month where this virus is going to peak, and we are still seeing hundreds of people in stores in Albuquerque that are not taking this serious, and they're not only putting themselves at risk, they're putting everyone else, including us, at risk. So just really recognizing that we're doing as much as we can to ensure the safety of our volunteers, whether it's here at the distribution site or out shopping, but we can only do so much when there are hundreds of people out there that are not taking this seriously whatsoever.
Yeah, that's great. I'm really glad you guys are able to stay safe while, you know, going out there. That's definitely really important, because I mean, if you can't stay safe, then that ability to serve definitely goes away. Before we sign off, would you mind sharing with us what keeps you motivated and inspired in this moment of time?
I think something that just really helps me push forward every night when I reflect on what we're doing is that, in my opinion, there's probably going to be people that want to argue about this, but I feel like I've matured and also learned a lot more in the past 22 days doing this work than I did in the past 11 years of public education. And just seeing the ways that this community is able to come together in such a resilient manner and make sure that all of us are protected and cared for, I like, there's nothing that I would trade this experience for, and I've just learned so much from doing it.
Yeah, and I think for me, you know, as I'm often like referred to as the auntie or the mother out here in the community. And I also know that I'm a healer. And so leaning hard into our practices of that have been taught to us, whether it's smudging with sage or burning cedar to protect ourselves, taking ourselves the time to breathe and to pace ourselves and to recognize each other, just leaning hard into those spaces that we've been taught, right, all along. A lot of us have lost access to with some of our elders, unfortunately. And so being able to bring that back around and make sure that we're honoring that, because that is where the strength is that we're so grounded as our community is so grounded and our organizing team is so grounded in those self-care practices, making sure that we're pacing ourselves, making sure we're taking a day off, recognizing where we need to grow capacity so that we can be sustainable. And for me, like, I think that's a place that I really just feel really grounded in and lean hard into.
And I just want to echo like everything Celinda just said, because that translates to everything that we also do on a daily basis. Like we got here this morning and Celinda and Celinda's family had breakfast prepared for us. And every day when we're done, they have lunch ready. And little things like that where we're able to make sure we're taking care of each other in the process of taking care of our community is just really beautiful and powerful.
Yeah, that's really awesome, you guys. Is there anything you guys would like to add?
I think just encouraging people to continue to donate so that we're, because this is, it's so important to call out that this is completely volunteer-based and donation-based. It's by the community and for the community. And so we, you know, we can't do our work without the generous donations that come in. And so if anybody has capacity, every dollar counts. And so if you can contribute in any way, please use the donate button on the page. If you have a need, please submit a request form. And then also you can email us if you want us to coordinate a pickup of a donation.
Jonathan and Celinda, I want to thank you for joining us today. I appreciate the fact that you took the time to come, you know, to sit down and an interview. And I personally want to commend you on this incredible effort and, you know, and stepping up to the plate in ways that, you know, other people are not, and filling in those gaps. I also want to just say that the community is truly blessed to have people like you in, you know, in the community, and without you, other people would struggle. And I think this is an important time for us all to come together, and you definitely reiterated that. So, yeah, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
For Generation Justice, I'm Jackie Torres.
Thank you, Jonathan and Celinda, for the light that you have shared with us and for the work that you are doing to help our community through this time. Jackie, thank you for the beautiful interview.
Thank you, Jonathan and Celinda, for being the hope for those who are hopeless during these hard times.
In honor of your work, Celinda, we'll play the song that you have chosen, Poverty of Philosophy by Immortal Technique.
Most of my Latino and Black people who are struggling to get food, clothes, and shelter in the hood are so concerned with that, that philosophizing about freedom and socialist democracy is usually, unfortunately, beyond their rationale. They don't realize that America can't exist without separating them from their identity. Because if we had some sense of who we really are, there's no way in hell we'd allow this country to push its genocidal consensus on our homelands. This ignorance exists, but it can be destroyed. So you can talk about change and working within the system to achieve that.
Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham has extended the statewide shelter-in-place order through the end of April. This directive is in place so we can flatten the curve and protect ourselves and our healthcare system.
We know that one of the hardest things about this pandemic is limiting contact with each other, but it is the best possible way to keep everyone safe.
So tonight, GJ members are sharing why they have chosen to stay home. They share how sheltering in place is affecting them and some of the things they do to keep inspired.
We will hear from GJ members Elijah Cage, Pilar Monfaletto, Zan Dixon, and Barbara Ramirez.
Hi, my name is Elijah Cage. I am 15 years old, a current student at Manzano High School, and I am a freshman, or now as a sophomore because of what is going on. I am a Black and Hispanic young man, and my pronouns are he, him, and his. I have been with Generation Justice for about 1 year, and it'll be 2 in June.
Hi, my name is Pilar Monfaletto. I am 20 years old. I go to school at St. Edward's University in Austin, Texas, and I'm a sophomore there. I've been with Generation Justice for about 6 years, and I am Chicana, and my pronouns are she, her, hers.
Hi, my name is Zan Dixon. I'm 14. I'm a ninth grader at Albuquerque High School. My pronouns are he, him, his. I've been with Generation Justice for about 2 years now. My ethnicity is Black and Indian.
My name is Barbara Ramirez. I'm 19 years old. My pronouns are she, her, and hers, and I am from Venezuela. I am a sophomore at CNM, and I have been with Generation Justice since 2017.
How this pandemic is affecting me personally is I can't do the things that I want or need to do, like go to school, practice, or even basically just go outside. Just to go outside, it's just been real terrible. And for those that I love, I can't really go see them, and they can't see me, and I can't help them. It's like you're feeling helpless. And I know that I have older family members that are not affected, but that could be affected by this, and we really can't do nothing because there isn't a cure for this, and it's just scared and sad to think about. And for my friends, I can't see them, hang out with them. Even my teammates, I can't even practice with my own team.
Shelter in place has affected me, and I think it's affected a lot of people in this way, that I feel like being inside all day has made me really appreciate society as it was before, like really appreciate going outside and taking time to be with family. It has been a little bit hard because the world is in such a limbo state, and it's kind of anxiety producing.
This shelter in place personally is kind of like making me think a lot more about us as a society in America, about how we act, and like how this pandemic, how it's done things to us as a country and as a world. Personally, I think that the fact that the climate is getting better in a way from this shelter at home, also it should be a wake-up call to us about how we already act.
The shelter in place is impacting me personally because my life has changed totally. My in-person classes have become online classes and I am now working remotely. So I am totally quarantined. I don't need to go out for anything, but it has affected my family because my sister is not working right now. And my dad is considered an essential worker, so he has to go out and help. My mom works at a grocery shop. She doesn't live with me, but she's scared that if she gets the virus, she could like get my sister and I sick. So it's affecting me because I'm not able to see her. I haven't seen her in weeks. So that's how it's affecting me the most.
I am staying home because, well, one, I have to because I'm immunosuppressed. I am staying home for the people in my life that really need people to stay home. So like my grandparent, my older aunts and uncles. I just think that staying home is a lot bigger than just myself. It's about being completely aware of other people and where they're coming from.
Personally, what drives me to shelter in place is just the protection, so I can protect my father, my mother, and you know, all the people that I've spent time with, even in, during this pandemic, you know, everyone that I'm with, and even myself. Because, you know, it affects everyone, right? I need to be able to, you know, protect and step up, you know? I don't want to endanger me or my family.
Some people say that the virus does not affect young people as it affects older people. But the reality is that it affects everyone. And I'm staying home because I want to protect people with their immune system. If it's not as strong as mine, they're still part of my community. I'm staying home because I want to protect elderly people who are super important in our lives.
I guess the thing that's been keeping me sane and that has just been helping me is just to keep on smiling like you're alive. And I know it sucks that you can't go outside, do what you need to do, but you don't have the virus and you're still here today and you still have family members that are here that aren't affected. And knowing that should always bring joy to your life and keep you happy.
One thing I do to keep positive is that I take walks with my family, which all my friends do it too, so it's interesting. We take walks and we get to talk about things, and sometimes we don't talk at all, we just take in nature.
Being able to do small exercises or like listening to something you've never listened to and you've always wanted to listen to. Exploring new ways to cook, watch new movies and different things like that, because there are plenty of things we can do. And even if you are alone, if you have a pet like you, Roberta, you can spend more time with your pet, you know? So I feel like there are plenty of things we can do to keep positivity.
One thing I do to keep positive is painting. I have been painting landscapes and it's really relaxing for me and I like the colors. I try to go to my backyard and paint and that makes me feel so much better.
A message to the community that I like to share is don't ever be scared because of what's going on in the world. Just because this virus is out in the world, yeah, you can't go outside, you can't do things, but you should never be scared, because if we live our life in fear, what's the point of living? Like, you won't be able to function how you normally would, and you just be scared waiting for something bad to happen, and you can't think about that. You got to think about the good things. Like, this quarantine is actually helping you reconnect with your family over lost time. Like, some of you guys may be busy and you're just never home, and this time is a time for you to reconnect with your family, which is what I'm doing with my mom.
Something that's always an inspiration for me is the artist Lord. She is my girl. She is so incredible, and her music really speaks to me because she wrote it in the same time period of her life that I'm in right now. And I think it really speaks to young people and really rejoices the kind of transitional period between like age like 18 and probably like 22, 23. I'm talking about the album Melodrama. And I think that that's just been really great for me, is like being able to celebrate this really confusing time. And so, yeah.
Just think of some of the other brighter sides, you know, not looking at the news as much about this pandemic, because we're not really getting much new information, as if we're just learning about new deaths. It's not necessarily what we want to hear at this point.
And my message to our community is to stay positive. I know we're going through hard times, but it will get better.
An inspiration that I'd like to share is your family. My mom is my inspiration. She always teaches me how to move forward. Don't be scared. Do what I need to do, and don't ever let anybody try to scare you. And I guess I just like to share that with you guys. And thank you guys for listening to me, and be safe.
My message is what I would want to hear, which is that we are here for you. All of us at Generation Justice really want to support the community. And if that's through a radio show or uplifting words like mine, I think it's really important that we do that, and that we give people happiness and support and a place to really understand the world right now. So my message to the community is, we got you.
Something of inspiration that I would like to share is how resilient New Mexicans are. I have realize that even more now during these trying times, how resilient New Mexico is, and how we take care of each other and how we care about our community. So stay strong, and we'll get through this sooner than later if we stay home.
Thank you, Elijah, Pilar, Zan, and Barbara, for your messages that help to give us all some hope that there are still positive sides, even through this difficult time.
Thank you for sharing your messages and positivity and solidarity with our community.
We have a song chosen by Pilar Monfiletto. It's called Perfect Places by Lord, and it speaks to the confusion and joy of being young.
Night. I hate the headlines and the weather. I'm 19 and I'm on fire. But when we're dancing, I'm alright. It's just another graceless night. Are we lost enough? Have another drink, get lost in us. This is how we get notorious.
Welcome back to Generation Justice, broadcasting on 89.9 KUNM-FM from the University of New Mexico.
Our next song is One Day by Modest Yahoo. The song expresses a hope for an end to violence and a prayer for a new era of peace and understanding. We hope you have enjoyed this hour of Community Voices. We would like to thank our guests, Jonathan Alonso and Selinda Guerrero. We are so grateful to the Generation Justice youth who wanted to share their messages this evening. Elijah Cage, Hilar Monfilero, Zane Dixon, and Barbara Ramirez. Tonight's hour of radio was produced by Kateri Zuni and Roberta Rayal, with audio editing from Barbara Ramirez, our assistant producer.
We want to give a big shout out to all of our youth producers. We could not do what we do without you. Generation Justice would also like to thank KUNM for bringing the voices of young people to you, KUNM listeners.
Our website is generationjustice.org, where you can check out all of our multimedia work and listen to our podcasts, which are also available on SoundCloud and iTunes.
We are also active on social media. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, with additional funding from the Con Ama Health Foundation, and, of course, all of you who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking donate.
Our opening song is Youth of the Nation by POD. Our last song of the night is Heal the World by Michael Jackson. I am Riazullah Alikozai.
And I'm Gianna Ramirez. Coming up on KUNM is Spoken Word. So stay tuned and join us next Sunday at 7 o'clock. Thank you.
And good night, New Mexico.